We're talking about buying a home here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Thanks for being here. Low mortgage rates continue to energize the housing market. The Commerce Department announced last week that sales of new single-family homes jumped nearly 8% in January. That's the highest rate in 12 and a half years. So where does this market leave potential home buyers? And what do you need to know about Wisconsin's housing market? We're looking at lending first with your mortgage questions at 800-642-1234. Laura Stanfield is a senior mortgage advisor with Fairway Independent Mortgage Corporation, and she's president of the Home Buyers Roundtable of Dane County. That's a nonprofit that helps low to moderate income families with home ownership. Laura, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Thanks for having me here.
We're seeing in some communities around the state the housing inventory very, very tight right now. Homes just not on the market. And we'll get to more of that in a moment. But first, how difficult is it to get a loan right now?
It's not difficult to get a loan necessarily. There are guidelines that we have to fit within. And there's a lot that changed, you know, back in 2008, 9, 10. That's where the guidelines just kept coming and kept changing, but for a good reason. So it's not difficult to get a mortgage, really, but I'm always going to ask people to be prepared. So if you're thinking that you want to buy a home, find out now. Start checking into what you need to do with credit and budget and all that.
Where do you start with credit and budget and all that?
Yeah. Well, a lot of times I think people start, they Google. I don't know that that's always the best thing to do. I would say meet with a mortgage professional. But tying into the Home Buyers Roundtable that we talked about, we have a website that we've worked hard on to be the resource in Dane County for education about buying a home. So we actually have a kind of a toolkit on there, and we have a quiz that people can go through to decide, am I ready right now, or do I need to work on credit? Just based on how they answer questions that we put out there, it kind of funnels you into, this is what I need to work on right now, or this is what I need to work on. Or if they feel like they're ready, we offer free education classes, 10 throughout the year. And there's actually one coming up on March 7th, this Saturday, that's free.
How does a lender determine the type of house a buyer can afford?
Yeah, that's a good question. So we're going to ask a lot of questions. We're going to check into credit. What kind of monthly payments do you have right now? A question that I like to start with is, what's your current housing payment? And is that comfortable? Is it not? Do you need that to be lower? Can you afford a little bit more than that? And that way we can kind of back it into what the price range would be. Also taking into consideration, do you have a car payment? Are you going to pay it off soon? Do you have student loans? That's kind of a big topic of conversation. A lot of people have a lot of student loan debt.
It makes sense, though, to say, hey, let's start with your picture right now.
Yeah.
How does it feel for you right now?
Right.
To get a really good idea as to where this potential buyer would be and how much house they can afford.
Exactly.
Getting pre-approved by a lender for a loan is said to be the first step of the home buying process. What is pre-approval and what are the steps involved with that pre-approval?
Yeah, so there's maybe some confusion out there about what's pre-qualification versus what's pre-approval. Pre-approval is going to be a little bit more detailed. So we're going to have looked at a credit report. We're going to have looked at, well, we hope, right, that it's done this way, that we look at your income. We look at your documentation, your pay statements, possibly your tax returns. We're going to look at bank statements, because if you come in telling me I've got a really big down payment, that could impact your loan amount, your affordability. And to tell you that you're pre-approved, I want to look at those things because I don't want you to be surprised later on. Uh-oh, we can't use that income, or the amount you told me that you make isn't quite, you know, the calculation that maybe I would use. And then we might get into that a little bit later, too. There's some down payment assistance programs, and they calculate income even a little differently than the standard.
Laura Stanfield is our guide. She's a mortgage advisor, has worked in the lending industry for more than 20 years. And you can join in with your questions. Are you a first-time home buyer, or have you owned before and are looking to purchase again? Do you have questions about that down payment or homeowner's insurance or interest rates? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. So, Laura, anything below 20% down, you would need private mortgage insurance. But what is a healthy down payment?
Yeah, I'm glad you said that, because I think there's a lot of misunderstanding out there still. I hear people say that they think they have to have 20%, and you don't. It does help you avoid mortgage insurance in most cases, but not all. So it really depends on the loan program. Some still require it, or some version of it, for the life of the loan, and some don't. If we're talking about a conventional loan program, you don't need it if you have 20% down. The numbers have changed, though, a lot over the years. So mortgage insurance used to be a lot more expensive than it is now, but it is really tied into the same factors that an interest rate might be. So what does your credit look like? What kind of property are you buying? Do you have down payment or don't you? So there's a lot that goes into it. There's the VA loan program for any veterans out there listening. You don't have to pay mortgage insurance at all. It's one of the nice benefits of that loan program. But if you do have to pay it, it's maybe not as much as some people think it is or used to be.
And VA loans are available for up to 100% financing. Is
right.
that right?
Exactly. Right.
And the VA loan program doesn't set a minimum credit score, or what do they look at with credit scores?
Yeah, there for every loan program, there is typically a minimum credit score. And beyond that, it's sometimes the lender has kind of guidelines that layer over top of that as far as what the minimum credit score would be. But generally speaking, I would say you'd want to be at a 620, 640, somewhere in that neighborhood to be able to get financing for most loan programs. There are some programs below that. And from there, I think it's a conversation about this is what your interest rate might look like. Maybe it makes sense for you to work on some things on your credit first, and then you could get a lower interest rate, lower monthly payment. Or is it really important for you to buy right now? Okay, well, so here's your options. But there are options. I'm always going to advise, and I'll look at credit reports and say, you might want to do this, you might want to do that, because you might be able to gain some in your credit score and therefore get yourself into a lower rate and a lower payment.
What might improve your credit score rather, you know, as quickly as possible? Because you want to get out there and get this home, and yet you want your credit score to bump up.
Yeah, right. And sometimes that takes time. So maybe there's some things out there, maybe there's some collections that you weren't aware of. I really suggest that people monitor their credit somehow. I use Credit Karma. I don't pay attention necessarily to the score that they give you, because it can be very different from what we look at when we're pulling a mortgage credit report. But really more so monitor your credit in the sense, make sure that there's nothing out there that shouldn't be out there that's incorrect. And then the nice thing about Credit Karma, I think, is that it gives you an education about, oh, your balance on your credit card's a little high. That actually negatively impacted your credit score. Or, yeah, there's a late payment that showed up, and you're thinking, well, I didn't make a late payment. But then you can be proactive about correcting your credit report and staying on top of it.
So it really helps you see where there might be some issues, and then mm-hmm. you can go about correcting those issues.
Exactly.
Yeah. We're spending the hour on homeownership as mortgage rates drop down in record low territory. Laura Stanfield is our guide. She's mortgage loan originator. Have you recently gone over your finances to see if you can afford to buy a home? What questions do you have about the lending process? Have you recently been pre-approved for a mortgage? Do you think it accurately reflects what you can afford? Join in with your questions about home buying at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Back in a moment with Laura Stanfield right here on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, we're talking about mortgage lending and home buying here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. African-American homeowners were some of the hardest hit by the subprime mortgage crisis. And even as black homeownership rates in our country have bounced back to pre-recession levels, Wisconsin isn't closing the gap. Our state has the nation's third worst African-American homeownership rate. Has your family recovered from the housing crisis? Can you find a home in your price range? Or have you been priced out of your market? What resources have helped you become a homeowner? Let's get to your questions, your thoughts, 800-642-1234. Mortgage lender Laura Stanfield is our guide. She's president of the Home Buyers Roundtable of Dane County. Let's take a call now. Marty is with us from Lake Geneva. Hi, Marty.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. Recently, I have a home loan, and I decided to go in and see what my credit rating was because I'm considering purchasing a car. And what they told me my credit score was far less than what I imagined it to be. So I marched myself down to the office and sat down with my banker, and I said, why? Well, he showed me my credit report, and I had some dings on my credit report 4 or 5 years old for something that was maybe a hospital didn't record my payment or late on one day. Now, why should I not think that these credit agencies are in cahoots with the banks so that they can charge me more interest? And I know I'm maybe thinking wildly here, but what other logical reason could be to hold me hostage like that for 4 or 5 years?
Marty, thanks so much for the call. Do you get that scenario, Laura, where something on your credit report happened 4 or 5 years ago?
Yes. So anything negative on your credit report can stay there for 7 to 10 years, and I would plan on 10 years in most cases. Here's the thing I'll say, though. If yours really are more about medical, like maybe there's a medical collection or two on there, those do not negatively impact your score as much as non-medical. The credit reporting agencies know that the hospitals and clinics really don't waste any time sending something to collection, and they give you a little bit of a break for that. So yes, there's going to be a little bit of a negative impact, but it won't impact you as much as like if you were late on a credit card payment for more than 30 days.
So follow up if you see something that is medical related there.
Yeah, and maybe it's wrong. So maybe insurance should have paid it and it didn't. So then follow up with who is reporting that late payment or collection. Make sure it's right. And if it's not, you have the right to dispute it.
Let's take another call. Anthony is with us from Appleton. Good morning, Anthony.
Good morning. My question is that if I have no debt and I have no consumer debt, no credit cards, no car loans, I really don't have a credit score at all. So do you still do manual underwriting, and what are the requirements for that?
Yeah, so there's some possibilities for manual underwriting.
And what is manual underwriting?
It's kind of an out-of-the-box type scenario, so it doesn't fit the general guidelines where we talked about those minimum credit scores. It doesn't fit that, but you might still be able to get a loan. We're going to be looking for compensating factors. So we're going to be looking for, do you have other things? Can we prove that you've been paying other things, maybe utilities or gym memberships or something, insurance for the last 12 months on time? Can we document that? So we might be able to use alternative credit sources. That's what those are. I might suggest, depending on your time frame, though, that you, I know a lot of people don't like to use credit. I get that. But you need it. So don't use it, I guess, to an extent that makes you uncomfortable. But some banks, credit unions will allow like a share secured, a savings secured type loan. So you're basically borrowing kind of your own money, but it reports to the credit reporting agencies. And that way you can start establishing credit and a credit score. You could also maybe start with a secured credit card, Capital One. I think there's a lot of different ones out there that you can check into. Credit Karma actually offers suggestions for that too, and that's a free resource. So I would suggest maybe starting to get some credit established, but pay attention to your interest rates on your cards and just don't carry balances. Charge little things and pay it off every month.
Anthony, thanks for the call. We're talking with Laura Stanfield, president of the Home Buyers Roundtable of Dane County. And you can join in with your questions on home buying. What questions do you have about the lending process? Have you recently been pre-approved? Are you comfortable with what the bank will lend you. How much are you saving for that down payment? Join in at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. So, Laura, there was a new report from the National Association of Realtors showing that Wisconsin ranks 48th when it comes to African-American homeownership over the last decade. Why is Black homeownership at such a low here?
Yeah, that's an excellent question, actually. And that's one of our missions or goals within the Home Buyers Roundtable in particular. We want to find out who the underrepresented populations are and why, so that we know how to educate them. So we actually started several years ago with kind of determining where's the need, where's the biggest need. And we started actually with the Hispanic population, finding out there that they just maybe didn't understand having money in a bank. They didn't understand credit at all. So we kind of stepped back and worked with another organization about creating financial literacy first. Let's teach them about credit and saving and the importance of all that. And then once they reach those milestones, then maybe they're closer to buying a home. The African American community is really our next goal, because we know that there's a huge gap there as well. So we're pulling in resources, people that we feel are really in touch with the community and know what's going on there and why. I think a lot of that, too, ties back to credit and savings. So maybe they just have not gotten the education about how to maintain a good credit score. So I think we might be in a similar situation there, where we just have to help them with getting there and then helping them understand that it is possible. I think a lot of them, too, have grown up just thinking it's not possible, because nobody in their family maybe owned a home, but it is possible. If it's a goal, we can help them get there.
What factors should you consider when you're looking at a 30-year mortgage versus a 15?
Yeah, 30-year, I would say for most first-time home buyers, that's what they go with, because they're more comfortable with a lower payment. Make sure, and this is one of those things that came out of all the guideline changes we talked about in the beginning of the show, very few have prepayment penalties, but make sure you ask, just to be on the safe side. Lenders now have to be fully out there and open and disclose everything about a loan so that you know if this is a good fit for you. So, but if you don't know where to find it, you need to ask, is there a prepayment penalty on this?
Meaning if you pay in advance and get ahead on your loan payments,
right,
that you're not penalized.
Right. Or even if you decided to pay it off early, you're not penalized for that. So, I just ask a lot of questions, really make sure that what you're doing makes sense. And read. If you don't know where it is, ask.
If someone is interested in buying a fixer-upper home that needs a lot of work, a lot of repairs, what is your approach with loans on those types of situations?
Yeah, those can be a little bit more challenging. But there are a couple of programs out there. So whatever improvements you're going to make, just keep in mind that they have to translate into value. You know, so there's a lot of things that we might want to do to our homes, but they don't necessarily add dollar value. So whatever you do, you need to be sure that the appraisal, which is the thing that lenders use to determine that it's worth what you've agreed to pay for it or the money that you want to put into it, make sure that those improvements you're making translate into actual value in your home. From there, there's a couple of programs. It's really treated kind of like a construction loan, but not brand new. That's one option. If you're thinking about improving an existing home, same thing. You go out and get bids for the work that you want to be done. And then an appraisal is what determines with those bids whether or not it's actually going to appraise out so that we can lend on it, because we don't want to go over whatever the actual value of the property is. But there's a couple options. One is actually an FHA loan, and the other one is through WIDA, which is a local Wisconsin housing program.
There are also loans in rural communities backed by the USDA.
Right.
What are those types of loans?
Yeah, so it's another option for low to moderate income homebuyers who need help with down payment. So it's a zero down payment program. You can put money down if you want to, but you don't have to. Generally speaking, it's for lower population sizes, so 20, 25,000, something like that. There's a map actually where you can go online and search a particular property on the USDA website, and it will tell you if it's eligible for the proper for that area.
And not just to buy the home, but this is also includes rehabbing a home. Is that right?
They do have some money. Okay. They have a couple different programs within USDA. There's a guaranteed program and a direct program. So for things like that, you'd want to go directly through USDA and see if they have some dollars. But we kind of talked about that, too, in the beginning. I would encourage people to check out the homebuyersroundtable.org, and there you're going to find out some options about down payment assistance.
So lots of homework there. Well, Laura, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's been fun.
Laura Stanfield is a senior mortgage advisor with the Fairway Independent Mortgage Corporation, and she's president of the Homebuyers Roundtable of Dane County. Coming up, we go around the state to look at how the real estate market is doing, both in rural areas and our state's metro areas. What questions do you have about buying a home in your community? Would you say it is a buyer's or a seller's market where you are? Join in at 800-642-1234. We'll get to more on home ownership right after this news update here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're spending the hour on homeownership. The median home price in Wisconsin stood at $190,000 in January. That's up nearly 9% year over year. And demand for homes remains strong in our state, even as supply continues to tighten. But general trends, they never give us the complete picture in real estate, right? Where everything is local. And one community's market in northern Wisconsin can be strikingly different to what another part of our state is experiencing. So are you working with a realtor to find a home? Have you been pre-approved for a home loan and have now started house hunting? How is it going? We're at 800-642-1234. Cindy Ellsrud is a realtor with the Ferraro Real Estate Team. She's president of the Realtors Association of South Central Wisconsin. Cindy, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hi, thank you very much for having me.
So some cities around the state, they're really feeling the pinch of a tight market right now. There are just far fewer homes for sale than the buyers who want them. What is driving a seller's market in some areas?
It's really difficult, you know, right now that there's a very low inventory in the market. And so it's really challenging to find not only a house, but a number of houses. A lot of times people want a number of houses to choose from. And it's very difficult to even find a house because of the low inventory.
Where are you seeing low inventory?
Pretty much statewide, even nationwide. I have a lot of friends that across the United States with the Council of Residential Specialists, the CRS group, that they're just seeing a lot of low inventory all across the nation.
Is that also include rural areas? What do you see in smaller communities?
Some of the smaller communities, we might see a few more houses that are available if you get out of Madison. We're starting to see, you know, a few more availabilities of properties and different things like that. I think just because of the commute and people are not afraid to make a little bit of the drive into Madison.
What is causing the tight housing market? Is it that people aren't selling? Is it because that we're not building new construction? What's going on here?
Affordability of housing and having affordable housing is really a big key. It's difficult because prices are higher, you know, for builders. They're a little bit more expensive to build. A lot of people are afraid to put their house up for sale because they don't have a place to live. So they're kind of holding back. They want to sell, but they're trying to basically hold back because there's no place for them to move to.
So even if you wanted to sell right now, it's really difficult to find that next house. And so you don't put your house on the market. You might not even decide to make any types of improvements because you'll stay put until the market changes?
It's possible, but there are some things that we are doing to help those people that do want to get their houses up for sale in this market and still maximize the amount that they might get for their home. We're seeing some people where they'll put their house up for sale and then do a rent back option for 30, 60, or 90 days to be able then to find a house for them.
And when you say rent back option, what do you mean by that?
They would actually sell their house, and then they would actually rent it back from the current buyers of their house. Some of the people are in the situation, some of the buyers are in a situation to where they might not have to move right away. They might be able to wait for 30 or 60 or 90 days to move in. That gives that homeowner that was selling their house a chance then to find another house.
So let's say a prospective buyer, they've done their homework, they have the budget set, they've been pre-approved for a loan. What is the absolute first thing they should do when they are actually ready to go house hunting?
Well, they could call me. otherwise, I would say, you know, to locate a realtor. And it's really important, you know, you might want to ask around some friends, family, if they've had some great experiences with agents. I also recommend maybe even interviewing agents to see who might be a best fit to work with. And then once you find somebody, you should actually think about doing a buyer's agency with that agent, because agents can work with you as a buyer's agent or a seller's agent. And a buyer's agent is real critical because they then work in your best interest. They can help you negotiate the condition and price on the property and, you know, be represented of
their
best interest.
They're representing you through the whole process of the home buying process.
Yes, correct.
What are some of those interview questions when you're looking at a prospective agent? What would you ask?
Some of the interview agents are you full-time or are you part-time? Especially in this market, it's a little bit, not that there's anything wrong by any means with being part-time, but it is kind of critical to have availability. Like, I'm a full-time agent, and this is what I do for my job. So the availability to go see a house at 1 or 2 in the afternoon, nights, weekends, is available. So you want to find out if they're full-time, if they're part-time, how long they've been in the business. That's a little bit of a factor from the standpoint that there are a lot of agents that have been in the business a long time. I've been in for 20 years. There are some also very, very good agents that are brand new in the market. So time in the market is a little important, but it's more critical of, do you know your market, you know, that you're working in, and do you know statistics and different things like that?
Should you look at their recent sales at all?
Sales are important, but, you know, I almost feel that a more of important factor is just being able to relate to that agent. It is important that somebody sells, you know, and is productive, but I don't want to be just the numbers to somebody. I don't want to just run the numbers and run my sales, and have a lot of numbers and not be a good agent. I would rather take my time and give those people a very personal experience in buying a home.
We're talking with Cindy Ulsrud. She's president of the Realtors Association of South Central Wisconsin. Taking your calls, your questions. Are you working with a realtor to find a home? Have you been pre-approved for a home loan? Have now started looking? How is the market where you are? What's it like? We're at 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. Mark in Pewaukee called in to say their daughter bought a home in Barcelona, Spain, with a 1% mortgage rate. And Mark says that seems absolutely unheard of in the U.S. How does America's housing market compare to others around the world?
That's a great question. I think every location is different. As far as different countries, I'm not very familiar with what a lot of them are doing in different countries. We have a great relocation program where we can get you connected to agents that are very familiar with those areas. But in what we're seeing here is a lot of difference, even not only county to county across Wisconsin, but state to state. A lot of things are being done different. That's why it's very critical also sometimes to make sure that if you're buying or selling, that you're familiar with that area and you're familiar with, you know, what the market is in that certain area. Even if going up north into Wisconsin, I would probably reach out to get an agent in that area that would be a little bit more familiar with the market.
Well, speaking of the North Woods, Drayden from St. Germain called in to share that they have been looking for a home for a while, just waiting for puzzle pieces to line up, they say. And Drayden asks, even up here in the North Woods, why is it that houses on the market needing work are selling so fast?
I think people are starting to recognize that because of the market and the shortage of inventory, even if the house needs some work, they're still putting it out there on the market. We're finding a lot of homeowners are not afraid to do a little bit of work in houses. And for the people that are selling houses, we're finding that maybe some of the work that they were thinking about doing as far as painting and some minor remodel jobs maybe might not be necessary to get their house on the market.
To move it.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, let's take another call. David is joining us from Milwaukee. Hi, David.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
I have a comment. Me and my wife are first-time home buyers, and we've been looking at duplexes for kind of a long-term investment slash cheaper to live there once we buy it. We live in Milwaukee, and the market is so tight in the seller's market right now. We just found a house in the River West neighborhood that we wanted to buy, and it was listed at $199. They only allowed people to look at it and put offers in on it over a Friday or a Saturday and Sunday, and then we put an offer on it for $216, so $17,000 over the listed price, and it apparently.
And you didn't get it.
It was not nearly enough, apparently.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. What is that scenario there with duplexes, Cindy?
Yeah, David, it's we're seeing that happen a lot with properties. So we're seeing houses that are coming on the market with maybe a first showing at an open house and 25 to 30 people or more in that open house and multiple offers and a lot of offers over list price, and people still aren't getting it. You know, there are some people in my team that we talked about it at our meeting last week that there were 25 offers on a property. They offered $20,000 over, and they still didn't get it. And we're seeing that, unfortunately. That's due to the inventory. Some of the other things that you might want to try to do is, and this is why it's real critical to have a buyer's agent, is because they can kind of help guide you through the process of that offer and what contingencies to put in an offer and what maybe not to put in an offer that might help enhance your offer a little bit more. It is price sometimes, but sometimes it's also some of the other contingencies that you either put in or not put in
that can make
to an offer that can make a huge difference.
We're watching Home Trends in Wisconsin with Cindy Ulsrud, the president of the Realtors Association of South Central Wisconsin. What is the market like where you want to buy? Are you looking at a duplex? Have you been putting in offers on homes, but they haven't been accepted? What did it take for your offer to get accepted? Join in 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Back in a moment for more conversation here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're having an hour-long discussion on home buying here in Wisconsin. Meanwhile, the U.S. housing market is set for its strongest spring since before the financial crisis. But fears of the coronavirus are causing bond yields to tumble. And since the 30-year fixed-rate mortgage loosely follows the yield on the 10-year T-note, that means mortgage rates are falling some as well. So do you have questions about down payments or homeowners insurance or interest rates? Are you ready to make the leap from renter to owner? Still time for you. 800-642-1234. Cindy Ulsrud is president of the Realtors Association of South Central Wisconsin, and she stays with us. Let's take another call now. Don in Janesville. Hi, Don.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Hey, we live in Janesville, which is as tight as or tighter than most of the markets in Wisconsin. We've invested in real estate, have in the process of selling off actually several dozen properties. The reason I'm calling, just as a heads up to all the home buyers out there, my wife's home where she had before we met, where she started raising her son, where my stepson and daughter were raised, we recently sold at cost at 185, despite having an offer 50,000 over. And the reason we sold that was because the seller put in a personal letter and a personal note detailing their single child and the fact that they wanted to have another one. And that swayed it, because it was going to stay as a single family home representative of the neighborhood, and it wasn't going to a developer as a rental property.
Wow.
And that, I mean, your real estate guru there will probably back me up on this one. That personal touch really helps.
Wow.
Yeah, Don, thanks again for the call. It does, and there's some agents that really like the personal letters and some agents don't. I personally like them. I was just telling Kate that I had a situation a few years ago where my offer was actually second best in price, but my buyer had a beagle, and the daughter of the seller used to live in the home, and she had beagles, and we got the house because of the beagle. So, you know, personal letters are nice. A lot of times people want to know who's buying their house. And the other thing you have to be careful of as a seller is you have to be very careful of the fact that if somebody gives you a huge offer and it's way over list price, is your house going to appraise? And are you going to have a chance to close? Because if the house doesn't appraise, the bank is only going to loan you enough money for that appraisal. Somebody's going to have to come up with that extra money. And it's either going to be the seller or the buyer. So sometimes, you know, when we're seeing houses and offers with a lot of money over list price, we have to be a little careful to make sure that that property is going to still go to close and it's going to appraise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And in the appraisal process, are appraisers looking at homes right immediately in the area, or how far out can they go to find comparisons to your property?
You know, that's each individual appraiser, but pretty much they're going to look at the area that's surrounding that house, and they're going to look at comparable properties that probably over the last maybe 3-4 months have sold. So that's critical when you go to list your house, because an agent is going to come in and do a comparative market analysis, and they're going to be looking at those comparable properties in suggestion for you for a list price.
Don, I'm curious if you're still there. I'm curious whether, as you buy and sell homes over the years, how the personal letter, that personal touch, has made an impact on you. Do you still take that very seriously and into consideration?
We do. We take it very seriously. We've gone that route more than one occasion on the personal side being more important than the bottom line. But we've done that several times. The problem with Janesville, and I can't speak for other markets. We're either here or we own a home in the Driftless region, is you can pick a number, you can appraise it based on current values, last values. But the offers, Janesville's in a boom right now for building, and the offers coming in we received that, the offer that I listed, and a lot of the offers as we're getting out of this market and selling out, these are all cash offers. People are coming in and just cutting a check.
Wow.
It's absolutely insane. And we are literally in a housing desert down here. It's terrible.
Don, thanks for the call. Are you seeing all cash offers, Cindy?
We are seeing quite a few cash offers. And that's kind of the one interesting thing that we talked about a little bit earlier, was the fact that somebody would actually sell their house and do a rent back. By doing that, that puts cash in their hands right now. So they could go and make a cash offer on a property. They don't have to make it subject to sale of their property. So it gives them a lot of different options.
We're talking about home buying with Cindy Ellsrud, president of the Realtors Association of South Central Wisconsin. Still time for you at 800-642-1234. Let's bring in Chuck now in Reedsburg with the situation. Hi, Chuck.
Hey, I'm kind of in a little predicament where we sold our house. We're supposed to close on the 6th of this month, and then we are buying another house, got approved for it, accepted the offer, stuff like that, and that also was supposed to close on the 6th. But then we just got an email from our mortgage broker that he can't get an appraiser in until the 9th, so that pushes our closing till the 13th. So now we're going to be more or less homeless for a week. I kind of checked with our realtor about checking with the new owners about maybe renting from them for a week, and he kind of just said that probably wouldn't be an option. So what are our options? Am I able to contact the new owner myself somehow, or what can a guy do?
Well, that's a great question, Chuck. I'm sorry that situation's happened to you. I would really try and reach back to not only your agent, but the buyer's agent, you know, on the other side. Have them try to reach the lender and see if something can get pushed through, you know, sooner. A lot of that, if the offer was written and there's some very tight timelines, sometimes the lenders might have a little bit of a problem getting the appraisals done quicker. It's also a situation where there's a lot of refis going on because of the rates are so low. And so appraisers are kind of backed up. But I would try to reach back out to your agent. And
did you
contact,
say refis, refinance?
Refinance, yeah.
Okay.
Yep, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
And I would try and reach back to your agent and their agent and try and get a hold of the lender and let them know the situation and see if there's possibly another appraiser that could come in and get involved and get that appraisal done for you sooner to still maintain your time frames.
Yeah, good luck, Chuck, with that. Cindy, how does the internet and technology like smartphones help prospective home buyers during this process?
I think it just gives them the availability to see some properties. You know, the human factor, I call it the human factor, is always better than the internet, because when you hire a buyer's agent, that buyer's agent is going to set you up on like a home watch service. They're going to take the criteria of what you're looking for in a home. They're going to sit down and put that into a computer and get you set up on home watch. So those properties, when they come listed, they're going to be sent to your email right away, and you're going to get notification right away. Where sometimes if you go to ZillowRealtor.com, sometimes there's a little bit of delay in getting those properties or seeing those properties. And a lot of times you'll see the properties on Zillow or Realtor.com listed out as active with offer because they're already gone. So it's really critical that you work really tightly with your agent to get them to get yourself set up on a home watch so you can get notified of those properties right away. Once you get notification of those properties, you need to get out and see them right away as well.
Well, as we get close to the end of our conversation here, take us to the end of the process here. There's a lot of back and forth as you try to close on this house. What are some things that the buyer should keep in mind about closing and, you know, once they get that accepted offer?
I think the biggest thing to keep in mind is, you know, when you're writing an offer, look at those contingencies and listen for your guidance through your buyer agency of which contingencies to put into an offer, which not to put into an offer. And then once you get an accepted offer, just making sure all those dates and deadlines are followed up, you stay in a timely manner, make sure your lender has all of the information that they need. A lot of times some of the delays that we're running into are a few documents that maybe your lender doesn't have, and they need to have that to complete the process.
Cindy, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Cindy Elsrud is a realtor with the Ferraro Real Estate Team, president of the Realtors Association of South Central Wisconsin. Earlier, we talked with Laura Stanfield, who heads up the Home Buyers Roundtable of Dane County. And if you missed any portion of this conversation, you can find it in its entirety at wpr.org/mornings. This is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to the Ideas Network.